Welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of Donnie's Disposals. I'm your host, Coach Donnie Hess, here with what I cannot wait to do. We have our AFL preview show for the season. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, I'm very, very happy to have my fantastic guest, a fellow footy-loving Yank, joining me on the podcast today from his bunker, his recording studio, and I absolutely love it because it is footied out. It has Vegemite in the back corner. I absolutely love it. Yank on the Footy Podcast guy, Craig Wessels. Craig, great to see you, sir.
Great to see you as well, sir. How are you doing today? It is nice to have all the other states in the country taking away the attention that Iowa had a few weeks ago with the Iowa caucuses, and now Super Tuesday's happening, so...
Straight to the political.
That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm saying right there. I'm not going any further than that.
That is perfectly fine with that.
No, I'm not going any farther than that.
At least it wasn't the monumental stuff up that one of the last one was with all of the voting and all that. So we'll reel that in and go back to it. I have to say, this is fantastic. we were just chatting off mic before we got started talking fantasy and all of that. And it was so much fun. We had our fantasy draft. So if you haven't seen it, check out the fantasy draft stream. We had 8 of our 12 on that pod, on that chat. It was fantastic to be able to catch up with all of my footy loving Yankee friends. But we're
and
here
we
to
should,
talk.
We should say that if you go ahead and you listen to the entire thing, we should let you know that Steez has been able to actually form a full squad instead of having 37 midfielders on his
seemed
on his
like
list.
It. I think it was 16. I think I reached out to him Saturday. I was like, looks like you got a plethora of midfielders. If you want to make a trade, let me know. So
I thought about offering up a bench ruck for Clayton Oliver just to see if he would have done that, but I didn't want to take advantage of him because there were still enough decent players, because he had a couple that he could drop that were season ending injuries anyway.
Yeah, and I like I said, I tried to make the trade offers that I did offer him as even as possible. In fact, the trade offer that I did, he even asked me why I didn't pick another guy, and I gave him my specific reason, and he didn't know about the new ruck rule with when it comes to the stiff arm on that. So let's hop into it, sir. Let's really quickly, before we jump into the nuts and bolts in this, recap of the off season. I know you keep an eye on it. I know you have just finished, as you were telling me off mic, just finished your season previews for all 18 clubs. Again, I tip my cap to you, sir, on that fantastic work. So your thoughts on this off season, because it's been a little bit of everything. We've had drama off field with Melbourne. We've had drama off field in other ways. We've had the draft. We've had trades. We've had players switching places. We are less than 48 hours away from the first game bouncing off. Your thoughts on this offseason? Because, there was still a lot going on. Even during the 2 months, we had no footy.
We've had some significant injuries during the preseason as well. We've had 11 games worth of suspensions already handed down for players, and who knows what's going to happen for North Melbourne's coach, Clarko, for his little spray the other day, which – I'm not sure exactly what it was that he said, but I think whatever it was he said, I'm not condoning specifically what he said, but the fact that he said something I think was probably richly deserved as a result of what went on. He may have wanted to choose his words a little more differently. No, this has been an interesting off season. The thing that has, and I just heard John Longmire mention it the other day as well. Of course, we got the NRL who came to Las Vegas to play a while back. And again, one of the things that you and I do, one of the reasons we do this is to promote this game, trying to convince our fellow Americans to watch the game. A huge bonus would be them actually coming and figuring out how to play a game here in the United States. That would be a bonus. Could it happen? Sure. We've got a couple of cricket stadiums that have been built. We've got another one supposedly in the works out in California. Maybe in the next few years that's going to happen, but bottom line is we got to we're working to try to figure out how to sell this game to our fellow Americans to try to show them this awesome gladiator sport, if you want to call it that, that we have fallen in love with. And I guess I can't begrudge the NRL for doing what they did to try to grow their game. And the AFL in turn then, went ahead up to Queensland, New South Wales, for the opening round or the to try to promote the game there. And I think it would have been brilliant had they decided to have two gather rounds this year, and have the opening round have a gather round in New South Wales and Queensland, and just bring all 18 clubs up there for the opening round and play everything up there. NRL, you want to go to the US? We're coming to your city. Sounds like big and rich, but oh well.
I love it. I love it. No.
And the other thing that is that got talked about a little bit, and it's not going to happen possibly until next year, and I'm not necessarily advocating for it, but it's going to make what we do so much more interesting if they bring in some sort of a mid-season trade activity, which that's a whole new situation for footy fans. And I know it's not the Americanization of the game, but it's an opportunity to, I think, to expedite clubs' rebuilds, and I'm looking forward to seeing what may happen with that in 2025, because it sounds like that's when that's going to come down the pipeline.
Yeah, I actually went back and forth with a fellow Swan supporter and a Crow supporter, and I was telling him, I said, I understand that it may seem like an Americanization, as you said, but I said the thing that you got to look at, though, the trade deadline is that what it actually will do is it will the state league Nuffies will kind of get a reprieve, because you won't have that midseason draft where the top state league kids can get snatched up, go on to an AFL list for 3 months, and then potentially still get delisted. Like in this situation, what would happen is one of my favorite ones I always use is Todd Goldstein, when he was with North, and North were not doing well, and not doing well. A team like Geelong at the time, who really needed a rock and maybe would be willing to give up their first round pick, could have got an extra first round pick to North Melbourne years earlier,
Right,
which,
right.
as you said, would maybe accelerate a rebuild for a team like North, and
Right.
still gives that chance for a veteran who really probably just wants to play finals footy, that chance to potentially win a flag. So it's one of those, I see the benefits, but then again, no, it's because I've seen how it's done over here. And I think it's because it's so new, some people kind of don't argue it away. So 100% agree with you on that one.
And the thing that I think it's a much more balanced situation in the AFL because they have a salary cap. Okay,
100% agree.
I used Major League Baseball as an example, that where you got a player that's getting ready to hit free agency that's playing on a club that is terminally in rebuild. Detroit Tigers, Pittsburgh Pirates, the Cleveland Indians slash Guardians, who are so friggin' cheap, that they
Kansas
won't
City
they you know
Royals
they
for the longest
Yeah, well,
time.
yeah, exactly. They've become kind of like farm teams, if you will, for the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, these teams with deep pockets. And the lack of a salary cap is one of the other things that drove me away from baseball. The fact that it is not a competitive playing field. Okay, those clubs can draft great players, and when they but they can't afford to keep them. But the Dodgers, can go out and spend, the Dodgers can, and I don't begrudge Shohei Ohtani for signing the contract in the style that he did, because he's getting paid very little up front, and then when he retires, he's going to be earning all that salary, not in the state of California, so he's not going to be paying tax on that money. I think it's brilliant on his part, but the fact that, that they can set aside that money to pay him literally 40 years later, just is, or however long it is out into the future, it's just it's to me it's ruining a game that I loved, and I'm so thankful for footy because of what baseball has done to itself. And I think it's just it's self-immolation to a beautiful game.
Well, and the other thing is that I know that for some of the audience that I have, is that you and I have both gotten into cricket, and which has been fun because it's given you something else to pay
Oh,
attention to.
absolutely, yeah.
So absolutely love it. So we'll stay back in. Again, there's so much to talk about when it comes to happenings, but I don't want to go into that, especially considering there's a lot of negative things. And I really don't want to talk about the suspension stuff right now, because it's on everybody's lips and all
Right,
of
right.
that. All I've said is that both suspensions, I understand them. I agree. Do I think the Webster one might have been a little bit longer? I thought it would be. I'm okay with seven, so we'll stay with that. But
Yeah.
we'll jump to one of my favorite parts, and that's burning questions. These are some things that I want to ask you and kind of banter back and forth on. My first one is, as I said, we're getting ready for the season to start, and one little caveat. I want you to take the Cats out of the equation on this. What
Okay.
team are you looking at that you are going to keep your eye on the most this season?
I'm really I don't think they're playing finals this year, but I'm really interested in seeing the steps that North Melbourne finally take, because I think that club is going to be one that is going to give some people trouble, and especially if they find another target in the forward line that's not named Nick Larkey and could take a little bit of scoring pressure off of him. I think that they could steal some games from some clubs this year that might come out of there, when the horn sounds and they go, wait a minute, isn't our song supposed to be playing? And they end up losing one that they should have won. I'm really interested in seeing what they do. Of course, I think everybody's interested in seeing what happens with Gold Coast and with Dema, and can they finally make the leap? I think the league needs them to make a leap to get a payoff for the amount that they have invested in that club. And I think we're all. I think they might be everybody. Well, not yours, but they might be everybody's second favorite club. I think GWS might be that club that everybody says, you know what? If my club can't win it, maybe it'd be kind of cool to see them, just to see what their social media department does.
I will be honest with you. I do have a soft spot even for the orange and charcoal part of Sydney, just because they've always fascinated me. I think they've got a super ton amount of talent. I have some friends that I know that are connected with that club as well. So they kind of are my second team. I try to keep it quiet to most of my
Well,
Swans
not
supporting
now.
fans, but I know, but it's I'm very honest when it comes to it. I try to be it. For me, there's two, and for two completely different reasons. One is Fremantle, because I am worried that could be a train wreck ready to happen. Because with the injuries that are starting to pop up, with Sean Darcy potentially being there, and again, some more exodus like Lachie Schultz leaving, can they score? Is Nat Fyfe ready for this year? Is he finally back to regular Nat Fyfe, or is he still in issues there? Can Sarong and Brayshaw really grab their teammates by the scruff of the neck and drag them on to maybe potentially getting back to the finals? And then my second one is just because of how crazy the end of their year was last year, because of all of the drama with shall we say, behind gate, and that is the Adelaide Crows. Because I think the Crows offensively are dynamically, insanely good. My worry is the defense going to let them down because of the injury on their back line? So I'm very interested. They're a team, like I said, and I know everybody's like, you're trying to suck. No, I'm not. Like, legitimately love watching the Crows. Rankin, Tex Walker, they could be an insanely good team. But it's one of those, if they didn't score 100 points, they didn't win. So they're going to be an exciting team to watch. I cannot wait to keep an eye on this Crows team, because they're going to go as their defense goes. If their defense lets them down, it could cost them games. If their defense steps up, they are potentially a finals team for sure.
Interesting little stat about the Crows. One of the things that when I did my previews, I asked a little set of like six or eight trivia questions of my guests about their club. And one of the questions I always ask is, who had the highest percentage of time on ground for the club? And it's typically a defender. Makes sense it's a defender. For the Crows last year, Isaac Rankin was their leader in time on ground. You think about that as a small forward, how much they're moving around. I mean, that was I when I looked at the stat, I was like, you gotta be kidding me that he was out there that long. Now, you think about the Crows not making finals. Yes, you had behind gate, but you also had interchange gate, I believe, the week before when North Melbourne forgot how to count and sent an extra player out there, which gave you guys another free kick where you got another win. So you kind of picked up like 8 points that maybe you shouldn't have had. So Adelaide got the long end of a short stick in a game they weren't even attending.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like I said, it's last year was a very interesting, like just going off my team, because I know some people have talked about Sydney being that team everybody wants to keep an eye on, because you look at it last year is did they make the finals because of a couple of things that were completely out of their control? And I mean, there's no way to argue that they did. They won games because they had a couple of very lucky situations. They had the exchange issue with North Melbourne,
Yeah.
and then behind gate.
Well, let me let
It's going to be interesting.
let me ask you this about your Swans here. Well, it sucks to know that number 23 is not going to be out there anymore. I've theorized that I think that the club is with what Buddy Franklin was in 2023, I think the club is going to be a better club in 2024 without Buddy Franklin on the list because of them. There was, even though he had kind of had a little bit of a fall off in terms of his skill set as he got older, there was still that in the back of people's minds, we got to get the ball to Buddy. We got to get the ball to Buddy. We got to get him his 10 touches, his 8 or 10 shots on goal per game if we possibly can, maybe at the expense of somebody who had a better angle on the goal or was closer and could have put them in a better position, so I think that's going to bode well for them this year.
No, we completely agree with you on that one. It'll be very, very interesting, as I know that everybody, as we kind of discuss, Logan McDonald is one of those that I think a lot of teams, especially out west, are going to be keeping an eye on, because he's close to the end of his contract. So, but I agree that there's almost this little bit of what way are they going to go when it comes to the forward line, and then how does when Taylor Adams is healthy, when Luke Parker is back healthy, how does that kind of change a few things? So again, there's a lot. I think I could probably come up with an interesting reason to keep track of almost every single team, but we would be here for 3 hours. So we'll jump to the next one, because you kind of threw out the name a little bit earlier, and I'm interested on your thoughts on this, and we kind of discussed this on the stream. Can Demme finally get the Suns into the finals this year, or is it too early for this young side up at the Gold Coast?
I would kind of like to see it, but I and if the if the results from their practice match is any indication, then they're not quite ready for prime time, as they used to say on Saturday Night Live years ago. But I don't know if they're quite ready yet. I think it may take a year for them to kind of fall into line with what he wants to have happen. And as he had said, he had, what was it, 80% of their first premiership was on that list at that point in time when he took the job. They may need to go get out and get the other 10% of the 20% that was remaining, if you, or the other half of that 20% that was remaining, before they are ready to compete. I think another year, maybe outside of the eight, where they get a draw the following year, that might be a little easier than being in the eight. I think that might bode well for them. So I do not have them in the eight this year. I almost put them there. I got them close, but not quite.
I'm 100% with you. I really wish I could record that, just replay it, because I'm almost the exact same way. I think it's a year early. I think it's going to take some time for what Demme wants to do to kind of fully saturate this group. I don't think you can just flick a switch and it's going to change, because this group has had so many years of a lack of success. So I'm 100% with you on that. I think it's coming. I agree that I think there's almost this want for Gold Coast to do well, because they haven't done so well, but there's almost going to be this leaning forward from a lot of footy fans once their team's kind of out of it, that is, can Gold Coast make it? Can Gold Coast make it? And so I they're going to be a fascinating one. They're going to be a team I think are going to draw some more eyeballs. I'm interested to see how their home games are. Will you see a bump in their home attendance? Because if you see it, then maybe if they start winning a little bit, it's going to start continue to grow. It could be this growth movement, which will be fantastic for the competition.
Right,
The AFL will
absolutely.
finally be able to go, whew, took long enough.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we
I
go.
I'm
Go
looking
ahead.
forward I'm looking forward to seeing it happen. I just don't think it's quite ready for that yet.
I agree. I think it's this. Hopefully, we see a step ladder. They're closer to the finals than they have been. I think if they can be between 12th and 9th, I think it's that is a successful first season for Dema for sure. So we go from the pleasantries of the Gold Coast, unless you're a Victorian squad and complain about all of the academy kids, to kind of what we kind of discussed earlier is the team that's been in the news for all of the wrong reasons, and that is Melbourne with their rocky offseason with suspensions, Clayton Oliver's issues, and everything like that. I don't want to go into like the weeds on this one. I just kind of want to go is for me, are there for you, sir, are there fears that they will underperform this year because so much of this offseason has been talked about what's not going right down in Melbourne?
Well, if my latter prediction is what actually happens, yes, they are underperforming. To the point where they're not even in the eight. Okay. I have Melbourne outside the eight this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole group is a year older. I wish, Clayton Oliver the absolute best. I know he's had a lot of things that have gone on. I don't wish anybody ill. You've got the young Mr. Smith who's having his issues as well. Mm-hmm. Even though they averaged 90 points a game last year, that was still a club that I really struggled to see how they were, actually scoring goals, quite frankly. I mean, you don't have this huge list of goals. I mean, their top goal scorers, Frisch and Pickett each kicked less than 40 goals, 38 mm-hmm. and 37 respectively. And you had 13 people that kicked double digit goals, but you don't have that, maybe Van Ruin becomes that guy this year. But to me, it still is kind of a prove it thing at this point in time. Who's going to be mm-hmm. there? Who's going to be their Ben Brown from 2018, 2019, that sort of, who's going to go out there and kick 55, 60 goals for them mm-hmm. and be that consistent goal scorer for them? I don't know who that is. I'm just not quite sold on them because I think that there are other clubs that have improved enough that are ready to make the jump into the next level. And I just think the distractions that they've had could be a problem. Now, again, they're all professionals, but it's I just think that they're going to take a bit of a tumble this year.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of worry about too, is that I keep hearing culture, 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 but it's like if you had the culture that you say you do, some of these issues shouldn't have happened. But mm-hmm. again, there's individualistic quirks. And then I think the biggest one that just happened not too far back is Angus Brayshaw stepping away due to the concussion.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
again,
yeah.
I sent everybody on the show sends our well wishes to Angus. I know it absolutely stinks that he's no longer able to play footy, but you have a life outside of football, so completely understand that. All the
right,
best.
Right.
Hope everything recovery goes well outside of the game of football. But I think Clayton Oliver playing in round one or in round zero is really the after effect, because I think they were probably going to wait for round one, but mm-hmm. because Angus is not there, I think they fast track Clayton, which I worry could be a bad thing. Is he fully fit? He's mm-hmm. a great player, but is he fully fit and ready to go? Will be major questions going into this game on Thursday night in Australia, Thursday early morning for us over here.
Yeah.
So we'll jump from the negative back up to the positive. We'll jump to the top of the ladder, and that is Collingwood. Collingwood did it again. The grand old club, the Pies, won another premiership to add to their trophy cabinet. I'm hearing it again. Can this be a team that can add to another back-to-back premierships, or is there another team that you're looking at this year as being your flag favorite?
Wait a minute. I thought you said you were going to jump to the positive.
I love it.
Well, I have them in the top four, but I do not have them in the grand final this year.
Okay.
I don't have them in the grand final this year. In fact, I have a non-Victorian grand final this year.
Ooh, I'm
yes.
interested on this. We will save that
yes.
tease for later. So
yeah.
I
think they're going to have another phenomenal year. I really, I do. I just think this is a very good club. It's a well-coached club. It's a, you know, if if you know Jordan Ngoi continues on the straight and narrow, you know, he can be one of the best players in the comp. Just an absolute force. You know, I think we have probably talked about this before. You know, they've got a player that I would absolutely love to have on my side because he's a friggin' Swiss Army knife. I would love to have Brody Mayacek playing on my team because he does everything pretty darn well. You need somebody to fill in here, you need somebody to fill in there, put Mayacek out there. He can do it for you. And he's gonna do it, and he's gonna bust his hump while he's doing it. I love watching that man play because he's just so nonchalant, you know. And we're American footy fans, so I guess of course we want to see Mason Cox be successful. You know, he's carved out a really good career for himself when people gave him a ration of shite. I'm gonna try to use the proper the terminology there. During the first, 6 or 7 years of his career, as he was figuring out the game, and is he going to be the best, goal kicking ruck, if we're calling him that? No, he's not. He's not going to be kicking the, he's not going to be, knocking down 50-meter goals or anything like that. But he's not afraid to, step in and, mix it up with people. He seems to be a fantastic ambassador for the game as well. I mean, I wish him nothing but the best. I have them, like I said, in my top four. I just think that there's going to be some things that happen that they won't make the grand final. So,
One
but yeah,
hundred.
I think they're going to have a great year. I mean, Craig McRae did a phenomenal job with that club, and mea culpa. I did it on my episode, my it preview with Collingwood. I didn't have Collingwood in my top eight last year.
See, I had them making finals, but I had them towards the bottom. I thought they could not keep up that, I mean, absolute insanity come fourth quarter comebacks. I just didn't think they would be able to do it again. And
That was my thought process.
again, I'll mea culpa again. They just kept proving me wrong. And I'll eat crow in that particular situation. I have no problem with it.
Or eat
Again,
magpie.
they want it. But and I agree with what some of them says. I said that if you they became a team that you almost kind of were enamored with because Craig McRae is so good, such a good person, such a kind person. And then you've got players that are likable, like Bobby Hill coming back from cancer and having a great and being one of the medalists on grand final day. It's just, there were guys that you almost wanted to root for. You know, it's Collingwood, but you almost didn't mind rooting for him. So it was or you didn't mind supporting them. I don't want to use the inaccurate one, especially on an Aussie podcast. The root is sometimes always not always taken the correct way. So it's just one of those. And Collingwood, they're a fascinating one. I think they'll be a top four side. They'll be it. They'll when the whips are cracking. I kind of agree with you though. I think with some of the improvements of some of the teams around them, there's some of their injuries that I think we could see Collingwood fall just a little bit short, but they are going to be in it when the whips are cracking for sure. So
Yeah,
we
I
jump
think
from
you're
the
right.
questions to what some people like to do is to keep track of this just to give you stick, which I've done this before, but I love doing it. We'll do some predictions for the year. We'll start on the bottom and we'll move towards the top. So we will start at
That's
the
okay.
bottom, Wooden Spooner. Who do you think unfortunately gets the best losing trophy ever?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that this year it's going to suck to be a footy fan in WA. Okay. They've had beautiful weather this summer. It's been hot, but what do you see? They're gonna long for cricket weather again here really soon. Okay. Because I have West Coast winning, earning, however we want to. And again, I think they're going to be improved, but I don't think they don't have enough bullets in the gun yet, if you will, to be firing well enough that they're going to compete on a regular basis. I think that West Coast is going to take the wooden spoon, and I actually have Fremantle at 17th on my ladder prediction.
Oh boy. So they may most people in WA will just go, forget it, we'll just watch the waffle. it'll be interesting. I'm with you. I think West Coast is there, but I agree. I think they win a few more games. It's going to be one of those at the end of the year. You don't want to be a finals team playing a West Coast, a North Melbourne, and some of those bottom teams, because they're going to fight. They're going to give you
Oh, yeah.
heck. And if you take them lightly in just the right way, it could definitely, definitely burn you. So you kind of might have given it away your answer on this, but for who's your biggest faller? Who's the person going to be tumbling down the ladder the farthest this year?
Well, like I said, I have two top four sides falling out of the eight. I have, and I don't necessarily have a, we kind of established one that kind of the rhyme and reason for one of them. The other one is just kind of a hunch thing. Okay. I've got Melbourne falling out of the eight, and I've got Port Adelaide falling out of the eight. And that's those are the two that I have, and both just outside at 9 and 10. So not falling too terribly far. I don't have a real rhyme or reason with Port Adelaide. I just think that it's going to make for good conversation, because folks in Port Adelaide are going to want to talk about whether or not Ken Hinckley should still be around, and it's going to lead to some discussion, and
Well,
screw it, the South Street.
you are not the only person. I'm 100% with you. When I kind of, I didn't write it down, but in the back of my head, I went, the two teams that are in the A that I could see falling out the most likely, those were the two. My biggest faller is Port Adelaide. I
Okay.
worry that they have duct taped this defense, hoping for a premiership, and they have hamstringed this team, because offensively they can be dynamic with some of the play with some of the guys. They got to get Charlie Dixon healthy, which
Right,
unfortunately
right.
has just been, I
Well,
mean,
and they gotta keep Todd Marshall healthy also.
yep.
Both of them were dinged up last year, because Marshall was my Coleman pick last year.
And Willie Rioli, they got to keep him on the park. They've got to keep the forward line going, because unfortunately, I think the defensive group is going to be patchwork, and I worry that you have two players that are exactly the same on the same team, and sometimes that
Radically
could be
and
a
Allaire.
disaster with a Savo Radagalia and
Allaire,
Ali
Allaire.
Allir,
Yep.
because they both play the same style. Can one be the lockdown defender while the other is the intercept marker, or will Savo Radagalia do like he did a little bit at Geelong and try to take somebody else's spot, and it actually ruins the rest of the defensive structure?
Right.
So I worry Port Adelaide. Zerk Thatcher, I think, is great, but he's a third defender. Do they have a one and two? Allir can be a one, but again, I think he thrives more being able to play off and intercept mark. And that's what Asava Radikalia does. So
Right,
can
right.
they make it work? And I worry that it won't. And I agree with you. I think then the rumblings over at Alberton will be, did we re-sign him only because of that great win streak
Yeah.
where they only won two games against finals teams? All the rest were non-finals
Right.
teams in
Well,
that crazy run. So
all I'm gonna say is, the Cats tried to keep Radaglia, and Port Adelaide insisted on taking him off of our hands. So, whatever happens. I mean, they wanted him. I would have loved to have kept him. He seems like a great guy. I saw him as, possibly being, an heir apparent, down forward, but they decided to play him in the back, and it's and he had some really good moments. I mean, he led the club in one percenters last year, but sometimes those one percenters are things that, when you try to do one of them, you're successful with it, but the other times you try to do it, you're not successful, and it exposes another part of the defense and allows goals to be kicked that didn't need to be kicked. And I think that we talked about this earlier tonight, that that in a way Jack Henry's foot injury for the Cats was a blessing in disguise, because it allowed them to showcase Radaglia. And granted, they didn't get a lot of great late picks from them, but they were able to extort, if you will, just a little bit more in terms of severance from Port Adelaide, because they held on to him until the last moment before they gave him to him. And if you can get an extra pick here or there, maybe that player turns out to be something.
You just never know. It's I don't know. It just Port scares me a little bit, because I like I said, if they start getting the ball pumped deep, I worry that all heck could break loose on it for sure. So
Yeah,
we've
and
done
they've
our
got
two kind of negative ones, but we'll go to the ones that are a little bit more fun. And biggest improver, who do you think is going to shoot up the ladder? And I'm interested to see what you say on this one.
I well one I one I think, I mean, you've talked about them already, I think, is Adelaide. And the other one, I kind of mentioned them already. I don't think they're going to necessarily shoot up the ladder, but they're going to be able to scratch that little sentence that is on here in the US. It's on the mirror on the right-hand side of the outside of the car, but in Australia it's on the left-hand side of the mirror that says objects in the mirror are cl in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. I think that the North Melbourne Kangaroos are going to be able to scratch that logo off of that mirror and not have the wooden spoon as close to them as they've previously had. And I think that's a pretty goddamn good analogy I just came up with off the top of my head
That was
there.
a very good one. That was fantastic.
I'm
Absolutely love
impressed
it.
by wow, that's pretty good.
That was fantastic. I'm gonna say one, and some people may say, well, you're kind of taking a cheapie here, coach, but I think it's true, and I think it's your Geelong Cats. Finishing 12th last year, I just think they got hammered with injuries in the worst possible spots. The biggest thing will be is, as we kind of discussed off mic, is Cam Guthrie's injury. Can they figure out the midfield? Like, I think
Right,
that's the
right,
one thing that
right.
everybody discussed is defensively, Tom Stewart and what they have. They're very good defensively. There's no doubt about it. Offensively, you have Jeremy Cameron, you have Tommy Hawkins. They work very well together. Can Tyson Stengel get back to his best? If he can, this Geelong forward line could be extremely difficult to stop,
Ollie
especially if
Henry.
Brian Myers can get the assists that
Yeah.
he has been getting over these last couple of seasons.
Henry kicked 40 plus goals last year.
Exactly. So
Yeah.
I'm looking at, I think the Cats make finals this year. I honestly do. I believe they should, they're going to nip Adelaide for me on this one, just because they're coming from further back to make finals.
Okay.
So I am 100% with you. I have Melbourne and Port Adelaide out, and I have Adelaide and Geelong in.
I do
So,
too. I do
but
too.
I have Geelong not just settling for eighth. I've got them close to top four. If they can
Wow.
stay healthy,
Okay.
I think that they could really do some damage, because again, they're experienced and they're deadly going forward, and their structure under Coach Scott
Yeah.
is very, very good.
Yeah. Well,
So that's going to be the biggest thing there.
I was not quite that bold. I have them in the eighth spot. Okay. And I wasn't quite so bold to put them in, at that point, and I have Adelaide in the fifth spot, Sydney in sixth, Carlton in seventh, and then the Cats in eighth, which means that
Interesting.
I've not told you about who my number four spot is yet, but they've not come up in conversation, so it may,
Interesting.
yeah.
I'm fascinated. We'll actually, they'll come up in the next one. But one of the things that I remember is I was watching First Crack on the Watch AFL app from Fox Footy, and they said that every year there's always a team that's outside the eight that jumps into the four.
Right.
And for me, those two teams were Adelaide Crows and the Geelong Cats. I like the Doggies, but they're far too damn inconsistent. I don't trust them defensively at all. So
Yeah.
I just don't see them jumping. Essendon, I worry they're a dumpster fire, and I think they tumble down, and they're right there with, I think Essendon could be that team that potentially they jump over Hawthorn, is that team close to North Melbourne and the West Coast Eagles down there. And I
Okay.
hate saying that because I know a couple of Bombers fans who I absolutely adore, but I just worry that their signings don't impress me very much. In fact, I think they actually are negatives more than positives personally. I worry that they are going to super tumble, but they were already 11th, so I can't say whether the biggest faller with Port Adelaide there.
Yeah.
So
Well, I had contemplated, and I didn't put them in there because, Hawthorne's defensive structure has just been decimated with injuries, and I had contemplated putting them in the eight this year. I did not. I mean, I have them significantly down. I have them behind North Melbourne now.
Yeah. If they were fully healthy, if they didn't have all of the injuries that they had,
Yeah.
I think they're in that 10, that 9, 10, 11 spot to where a couple of upsets in just the right place and they're close to finals because of what you saw last year, them beating Collingwood. But Will Day's injured. They've just been absolutely ravaged. And I feel horrible because they could be the wooden spooners because of attrition to their roster, which will be fantastic. So
one of the great things about this year is just the simple fact that there are so many clubs that could play finals. You could make an argument for probably 14 clubs to play finals this year.
I agree. I have
Richmond 16th on my ladder, but you could make an argument for Richmond to play finals because they've got so many players that are still at least, you know, premiership players or dual premiership players. It's just, are they going to be able to score enough points? Can they replace Jack Riewoldt? Is Tom Lynch going to stay healthy? If they can do that, that's a club right there that is going to be simply a great year because there are so many clubs that are so close together. Mm-hmm. It's what the NFL has driven for, you know, the whole idea of parity.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could win the darn thing. Mm-hmm. Hell, look at that. My Cleveland Browns were in the playoffs this year. Okay, come on.
I'm 100% with you. The biggest question I have is how is the transition to Adam Uze and what does he change from what Dima was doing at Richmond? Does that change how they kind of run? Because we've always been used to Richmond's heavy pressure, get it forward kind of psycho ball, as some would say, or chaos footy, as some would say. Does Uze change some things? They're an enigma for me. They sit in that 13 to 15 range where, if they click a little bit like Kingsley last year with GWS, yes, they've got the talent to make finals. Shai Bolton, Dusty Martin, Toby Nankervis, Lynch, when he's healthy, could be absolutely scary. But the issue is that, again, inconsistency, and then I don't know what Adam Uze is bringing to the table. I take a grain of salt with the tracky matches and the trial matches, because so many times I've seen teams play really well in the trial matches. They get to the regular season and they bugger it up. So I really look at Richmond, Fremantle, Gold Coast. They're in this same bracket where I go, I don't know what I'm going to get from these three. I really don't know. So
no, you're right. We're simply doing this for fun. You know, we don't know. I don't pretend to know everything. I don't know anything. No. Trust me. And I think you would concur, you know, if you're somebody who likes to go, you know, lay down a wager or something like that, do not take our advice at all. Don't go spending money and, you know, taking your mortgage and putting it on anything that we've said here. Cause we don't know squat, you know,
doing sparingly because we are doing this for the love, not for the profession.
Yeah, we do. You know, I do the fantasy league where I don't have to pay anything for it. The only thing I pay for it is my subscription to Code Sports. So I have the Super Coach stuff that goes along with that as well. And plus I love reading Code Sports cause it covers, you know, a lot of cricket stuff as well now. And it's just, I read that. I mean, I quite frankly don't read any American sports websites anymore. Not a single one of them. Everything's behind a paywall. I don't care. I was a Cleveland Indians fan for over 50 years. Mm-hmm. I think I know the names of two players that are on their roster right now. Shane Bieber, I think, is still there. And I think Jose Ramirez is still there. I don't know who anybody else is on that roster. And I don't feel bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. Well, and I've heard you say this a couple of times in your podcast, and I've literally just chuckled because it's completely true. As you said, you know more people in Australia than you talk to more people in Australia
absolutely
than you do on your block. Well, and I raise my hand every time you say that on your podcast, because I'm like, I'm the same way.
and here's the thing. Today is, we're recording this on Tuesday the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, I'm sitting down Thursday evening because that's my first free night that I have to do this. And I'm booking my flights for June.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be there. I believe it's going to be rounds 15 through 18, I believe it is.
Okay.
This year. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I want to make sure that that's the right, uh, the right rounds there. Let me see here, because I know I'm going to be there for, no, 16 through 19. So I'm going to get to see the Cats play the Bombers, the Hawks, the Magpies, and the Bulldogs.
Fantastic,
So
fantastic. So, and I'm so happy that you're going to get to do that,
I'm
and
stoked.
please enjoy yourself. For me, that is on my bucket list. I got to get everything together. I know that I've had a few with my state league coverages. I've had a few offers both in WA and SA to come out there and to see some of the stadiums out there. So I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll go back to the AFL, and we'll let you have your fun here. As you said, you've said three of your four. Your top four teams. I don't want to do the entire final. I don't want to do the entire final because I want a little bit of mystery. Who's your top four sides after the home and away?
I've got Brisbane winning the minor premiership, finishing at the top of the ladder.
Okay.
I've got the Magpies finishing second. I've got GWS finishing third. I've got St. Kilda finishing fourth.
Ooh.
I've got to say, I think St. Kilda is gonna put it together this year. I think that, last year, getting their youngsters the experience that they got, basically the first half of the season when they started out, what, 7-1, 8-1, something like that, when they had so many injuries. And as we talked about off air, they've got a pretty extensive list again this year. I just have a now, I kind of hope I'm wrong because they play the Cats twice this year. But I just have a hunch that, Ross Lyon is going to get this club over the top, and he's going to reward their board for making the decision to bring him back into the fold. And he's going to get them closer. He's going to get him into a prelim, I think, this year.
Which that's I love the call. I absolutely love it. I'm always up for that. So for me, I'm pretty similar to you. I'm not going to do one through four in a specific order just because, again, I think this is all going to come down to injuries. I agree with you. I think two of the top two, Collingwood and Brisbane, I think they're going to be there. Brisbane just doesn't lose at home very much at the Gabba. So when you almost chalk up 11 wins to them at home, I get that. Collingwood, again, the MCG is always a horror house, and the way that they play, they're going to win. My third team, I'm going to fall on the hype train a little bit, and I hope I'm not wrong for this. And I have a few friends who listen to the podcast are going to love me on this one. I think Carlton's in the top four. I love what they started to do. I think if they can find a way to get Charlie Curnow to continue what he's been doing, I think they kind of started to get Voss Ball a little bit to the point where I think they know what they're doing. My worry is Sam Walsh's injury going to hamper them? That'll be the biggest question over these first few rounds with his back injury. Can they kind of survive his absence, because they were a little iffy at times without him early in the year? And then my number four is GWS. And this is and this is some people would say, well, it's a hype train. It's a hype train pick, a little bit like Carlton. I think what Kingsley has figured out, I love the Orange Tsunami. I think they're going to be super difficult. They maintained almost everybody. I think Finn Callahan and some of these youngsters, I think, could have breakout years again this year. Toby Green, again, is one of the best small forwards in the entire competition. If Hogan can stay healthy and some of their forwards can kind of give him some space, that can make GWS very, very dangerous. So I have the Giants as my fourth seed. Like I said, we won't say five through eight because I want a little bit of mystery on that one. I love doing this. All right, so we'll do it. We'll hit that with the top four. We'll go to a grand final day. Who are the two teams playing in the grand final?
Well, I already mentioned that it's a non-Victorian grand final,
Okay.
and I've already what WA at the bottom of the ladder. I have it as I have a Brisbane GWS grand final
I like
this
it. I
year,
like it. I
and
like it.
I have Brisbane winning it this year.
Okay. So you've also answered my next question. Well, I will do the same thing. Grand final teams and premier. I think, and for some people, this is kind of it's a cheap and easy one. I think we have a rematch. I think it's a Brisbane Collingwood
It
rematch in the
certainly could
grand
be,
final. And I'm with you. I think Brisbane wins the title this year. The biggest thing is they got to stay healthy. They were so close to Collingwood, a couple of mistakes at just the wrong time. I think to learn from it, I think they're a more talented team. The biggest question, especially, is with Will Ashcroft being healthy, hopefully, cross our fingers, he comes back and everything, he's just as good as he was before. That's another potential talented all-star on that team that I think could help push Brisbane over the line against a Collingwood team that they survived. They won that game, but they survived a absolutely insane pushback by Brisbane towards the late. So I'm with you. I have the Lions getting to the premiership and finally getting a cup on the MCG. It'll be an interesting grand final. I think it could be another instant classic, a little bit like 05, 06 between Sydney and the West Coast. I think the second could be just as good as the first. So now, normally we do tips, but I don't want to do tips for only four games just because I think this round zero was thrown together. I don't mind it. It's great. So I'm just going to do this. Instead of tipping, what of the four games has you the most excited? What game are you definitely cannot wait to sit down and watch of the first four games in this round zero?
Well, I quite frankly, it has to be the grand final rematch, does it not? I mean, I want to see, first of all, I want to see Collingwood on the road. Okay, because that's like, you know, what we're about to have happening here on April the 8th when the eclipse goes by. It's a very similar situation.
Are you talking the preliminary final rematch between Collingwood and GWS? Because
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Brisbane
Yeah. The
plays
prelim. Yeah. Yeah.
somebody
That's
else
right.
in
The
that
prelim.
first
Yes.
game.
Sorry about that.
Brisbane
Yeah. They
plays
play
Carlton.
Carlton. Yeah. The prelim rematch. Sorry about that. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Yep, you're
GWS and
good. I was just like,
Collingwood.
that's like
Sorry about
grand
that.
final
Yeah.
rematch. I thought that was later on in the
I
year.
put Cal. I put Cal. Yeah. I put GWS into the grand final. No, they weren't there. They weren't there. They lost by a point to them. So I'm looking forward to that. I just, you know, there was a little chippiness between the two of them last year. Well, I don't want to see that carry over again. I do want to see, I'm just really curious to see what does transpire with this one. So I'm really interested in that. I'd love to see the stadium full. You know, I did my preview with the guys from the one of the guys from the Squinters, and he actually was one of the construction workers that helped to build the
Giant
stadium that the
Stadium.
Giants play in. So I mean, he's got a you know, a vested interest in that club, which I thought was really, really awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually 100% with you. It's either between as is Brisbane Carlton up at the Gabba on Friday night footy, or GWS Collingwood, just because there's also that little bit of spice of what Mason Cox put on online about
Yes.
how it was a horse, how it was like a
Cow
some kind
paddock or
of
something. Yeah.
stockyard or
Yeah.
something to that effect, and then GWS's CEO or something coming out going,
We hate
we hate
Collingwood. Yep.
Collingwood almost as
Yep.
much as we hate the Swans. So
Yeah.
there's some spice in
A
this
lot of
game that
bulletin board material.
oh,
Well,
exactly.
and then GWS is their social media stuff basically put up like
Cooper, yep.
an instruction booklet for Collingwood on how to travel, which I thought was like, here's what you have to do. You arrive at the airport a couple of hours early, that kind of stuff. Bring snacks, that sort of. It just, I mean, I love the trolling aspect of it because it's brilliant.
It is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That could be an absolutely fantastic final game of this opening round. Cannot wait for it. I know as a Sydney supporter, that first game on Thursday night is going to be quite interesting with
Yeah.
Melbourne, with both teams kind of question marks on both sides. So, and then Gold Coast Richmond has just as much
Oh
intrigue
yeah.
with Dimma
Yeah, there's
playing his old side.
I mean
And a little bit like GWS is, how is the stadium going to be? Is Heritage
Yeah.
Bank Stadium going to have a ton of fans, or is it going to be the sparse crowd that we're used to
Well,
seeing?
know, I think Richmond is a little bit like Collingwood. I think Richmond travels in terms of
Travels
their
well, yep.
crowd. So I mean, I think you're And what I hope happens is I hope that the Gold Coast supporters show up for their club with this newfound, you know, hopeful exuberance that bringing in this, you know, you got a three-time premiership coach who has come into your club, who, you know, walked away, got refreshed. And I the only thing I wish is that they were playing this game at Marvel Stadium in round one. That's the only thing I wish, is that they sent Dimma back to Marvel Stadium, because I know how much he loves that place. That's the only thing I wish would have happened, because when I read the schedule, the fixture at first, I thought that's where they were going, and I thought, damn, they got that right.
That would have been the troll job of the century for
Yeah,
sure.
yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I've told myself that I'm going to do that when I go this summer. I am going to go to Punt Road, and I am going to make the walk from Punt Road to Marvel Stadium. And I'm going to film myself on the way, proving that it can be done, that you can get from one place to the other fairly easily, because I'm going to be a 61-year-old man at that time, and I'm going to be able to traverse that in pretty good fashion there.
Just make sure you avoid those man-eating crocs.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll keep my shoes on when I walk across that open field of broken Lego pieces as well. Yeah. Yeah.
We got to have a little bit of fun. So, well, Craig, this is always fantastic. I've wanted to get you on the podcast. I know you were super busy just like me when it comes to the footy season. So, to be able to have you on the podcast, and I know you and I are footy heads. We love talking footy, and we had our fantasy draft where we had 2 hours of banter, which I absolutely love because it's guys that that
Yes.
that we all kind of watch footy in a different way, so we have different ideas. It was great to kind of go back and forth. So
It
thank
was
you so
awesome.
much for hopping on the
Thank you. I
podcast.
appreciate it.
It is such an honor to be able to talk with another footy loving American.
I appreciate it, man. This was awesome. This was great. Yeah. And if you want to give it a listen, head over to yankonthefooty.com and check it out and see what's happening over there.
Definitely, for sure. It is definitely worth a listen. An incredible, incredible listen. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this AFL preseason review. Thank you again for keeping an eye out. Again, more coverage. The AFL will start. And once we get a couple of weeks in, we will have the state league coverages. Again, we have the women's competitions for both the Waffle and Sample started last week. Have to say, there was even an after the siren kick, so it's already starting fantastic for the footy for me for sure.
Yeah,
So keep an eye out.
you
That'll
certainly
do
dive you dive much more deeply into that than I do. I don't
it.
I delve into a little bit too much British detective shows and that sort of thing while you're doing that. I mean, I'm scouring Acorn TV to watch Murphy's Law and things of that nature while you're doing that. So.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've had a few Australians go, "Coach, how do you watch all this stuff?" And I go, "Well, it's relatively simple." I said, "For the Sample, I have the Sample Now app. I know it's a little bit of an expense, but you want to know what? It gets me games all the time, live or on demand, so I can go
Yeah.
back and watch it. The Waffle W, I actually found a website called streamer.com.au, which actually is connected to the Western Australian that plays all of the games, both live and on demand. And then when it comes to the VFL, VFLW, Sandful, and Waffle, all of them are also connected to the AFL website. All are free.
Right.
They aren't, you can watch them live or on demand later. So the best
Yeah.
part is that it's easy access. It doesn't take too much to get. Like I said, a little bit of an expense for the Sandful now to get the women's competition for the Sandful. But other
Okay.
than that, the rest of it is free. So it
Cool.
is very easy to get a hold of. And again, to be able to see the youngsters in the Sandful and the
Yeah.
Waffle in both the women's and the men's competitions is definitely worth it. I love this sport. I love covering this sport. It is so much fun. So I will not take up any more of your time. Again, we'll be back very soon with
Yeah,
more
because I'm
coverage.
jumping onto an episode of my own here in just a minute. I've got a guy sitting in Edmonton right now going, "Where the hell is he?"
All righty. Well, we will let him go. That'll do it for another Donnie's Disposals. We will talk again very,
All right,
very
Donnie.
soon.